Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. Dave at PetzelFinancial.net is the email address. Either one is fantastic. All right, so it's a rough week. It's been a rough start to the year. Really rough. And I think what you want to do is you want to kind of read the headlines and on these things all the time, right? We're always comparing. It's like, it's the worst week in the last 18 months or since the pandemic started for tech stocks. You know, stuff like that. Like, that's some kind of unbelievably long time. And, of course, it's not. It's certainly not in any historic sense. But that's the kind of headlines that are easy to read. And it's tough. I mean, these are weeks, and my wife will tell you, it's just not the funnest kind of week. You know, I'm tired. I'm a little grouchy. We take this all personal. You know, it is personal. And we don't want people to be losing sleep or what have you, right? You know, nobody wants that. But this is the price that we pay for having and building wealth in a consistent way for all of our life, all of our parents' lives, all of our grandparents' lives. And occasionally we go through these weeks or months or who knows how long when the inevitable happens, right? I mean, markets correct. And we all say that. But when they do, it's like, what do we do? Nothing. But it's never going to. We all feel that. I mean, it's no joke to say I was in there this week, you know, and you know, like people come in and talk to me, and it's like, okay, you know, I don't want to talk. I just want to sit here and fume about this crummy market action over here. You see, we're coming back today. Well, we won't. It'll go down again. It will. And we all feel that way, right? It is. It's kind of like that until it's over. And we don't know when that'll be. It sure wasn't Friday. It didn't feel like it was going to be Friday. The president of the United States decided to do a news conference. And for the first year. And it's pretty much the only news conference he's done. I know he had a couple of softball ones where, you know, all the questions were given. You know, what's your favorite ice cream, Mr. President? Do you like puppies, Mr. President? Stuff like that. Really hardball stuff, like, you know. And he certainly came out for Afghanistan. No, he didn't. So they've kept him in hiding. He comes out. And good, he was able to stand there for 2 hours, and most sentences he completed, not all. Sometimes he mumbled off onto something that had nothing to do with anything. But the reporters were dutiful and helped draw him back. But in the end, what happened was the most powerful man in the world looked completely overwhelmed, exhausted, incapable. And he was very confused as to what Russia was going to do, should do, and what our response was going to be. Huh? I mean, it wasn't a new question. It wasn't a new thing. And so it's like we're left going, and then on top of that, here's the other point. This was a tremendous year. Can you all believe how good I did this year? How much stuff we did? Now, does that sound like a president who is about to pivot? To change course? To say, this has got to be the worst year ever of any presidency, certainly first-year presidency, ever in modern history. I mean, maybe in the 1800s somewhere, there was a weaker president. There was somebody that blew up a place like Afghanistan, made the whole world go, wow, America's in total retreat. All of this, right? Inflation, all that. That's what we saw this week. So are we going to go to war? I mean, at some point, the markets are going, I don't know if we're going to war or not. And I'm certainly not confident that we've got this thing handled, that we have a plan. So I don't know what causes markets to go, we don't want to hold stocks right now. Is it inflation? Possibly. Is it the fact that interest rates are going to be raised? That's like really new news, just affecting the market. Now, here's a bulletin. Interest rates are going to rise. They've been talking about this for months. Of course they're going to rise. So that's not news either. But you get into these periods where you just go, I don't know what it is, but it is. I don't know when it ends. We can't know that. But people have been calling for this for thousands and thousands and thousands of points. And so it's not like you just say, what do? Well, you do nothing. You hang in there. You buy more. You know, what we love to say on Wall Street is, you just get your shopping list out. You get ready to buy the stuff you want. Well, of course you do. Or you just keep adding to your investments. That's what you do in something that's gone up 10% per year on average for your entire life. And I didn't need to ask how old you are, because that's true of everyone. Well, I don't have that much time left. That's a very common one. Right? It's like, I just am scared, so I'm going to make stuff up, okay? So I'm just going to say stuff, okay? And maybe something will stick, okay? So let's try all of them, right? Well, I don't have enough time to make it up, to come back. Come back from what? We were up 28% last year. So let's just pretend this continues and you're down 10. Do you not want the, you know, 16%? I mean, we could put it in the bank and earn zero. We have this artificial, but I lost. How did you lose? What did you lose? Well, I started the year with $1 million in my account. And now it's $900,000. I lost $100,000. What did you start with? What do you mean? I started with $1 million. I just told you that. No, I mean, like years ago. What'd you start with? Well, none, zero. I mean, a dollar. Okay, and so let's say on total you put in what? 100, 200,000 over your entire working life? Yeah. And so the rest of that was what? Growth. So you didn't make 800,000 or in this illustration, 200,000 is what you put in. You made 700,000 to have 900,000 today. No, that's not how you perceive it. You perceive from the absolute best day for you doing nothing except sitting on your hands that you lost $100,000 from 1 million down to 900,000. You see, the fact is we figure out ways that all of this really is awful when it's not. We figure out ways that we're losers when we're winners. We continue to do this. When the market goes down, we don't go, wow, okay, I gave back some of the millions of dollars that I've made doing nothing. Doing nothing. Well, it's my money. I can hear people, oh, it's my money. No, okay, it is. You put in $200,000. It grew by $700,000, but you figure out how you've lost money in that circumstance. Well, okay. We all figure that out. Well, I don't have enough time. Well, why don't we just step aside? Until when? We already did that. Remember, you wanted to step aside 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Remember the pandemic? We wanted to step aside then. If you would have, you would have lost 50% of your money because it never would have grown back. You see, after falling 30%, the market rose for 2020 by an astounding 18%. 18. And then we do 28. But oh my gosh, are you going to hear from the doomsdayers, the scare professionals, the fear mongers, the liars, about what a casino Wall Street is. Instead of it has normal corrections, and it does. In a world of hyped up, super hyped up, in our faces, media, social media, news, everywhere we look. Relentless drumbeat of negativity. And I get it. I just talked about it. Standing there watching the president of the United States in his first press conference forever, declaring, we're doing so well, we're not going to change directions at all. And I really don't know what Russia's going to do, and I'm not sure what we're going to do, and maybe if they only do a little bit, then we won't do anything, and we should probably, like, you know, not worry about it much, you know. Who am I supposed to ask next question? Oh, Bob from the AP. Go ahead. This is our president. I get it. I don't even know if he knows what inflation is. I get that. We still have people in government that are promoting the idea that they can't possibly believe it, but they're promoting the idea that if only government would spend more money, inflation would go down. I'm not joking. This is what plays for the reality in Washington, D.C. If you just say it, people will eventually believe it. But there is accountability. The president's ratings are at the lowest of... They're even lower than Trump, for crying out loud. Who would have thunk that? In only a year. It's insane. So are these policies, these Looney Tune things passing? They're not. They're not. And the Federal Reserve is finally saying, we have got to deal with inflation. It is a really big problem. Well, good. Instead of pretending we just keep printing money and it's all going to be fine and it's transitory, it's not. They'll get out in front of it. Supply chains will be okay. And Omicron is fine. Well, I don't find me if you have it, it's not great, but it's not going to hurt the economy. This may be the end of coronavirus as we know it. There's all kinds of things out there that are positive. But when we go into times like this, we only focus on the negative, and everybody is loud about it. And of course, the cheapo fear sellers are just really, they finally had their day. Finally have their day. For a while. And they can come out and talk about it. And they can sell you on high commission products. And they can make up stuff all the time and do. Because there are no licensing requirements. They're free to exaggerate whatever they want. I know, I'm trying to be nice, diplomatic. And make it up. It's a weird world. Fear sells. And it does in our own minds, too. That's the hard part. I've got a lot more. I want to go back on a number of things in the second hour. But right now, I got to take a quick break. And when we come back, we got Sam. Hang on, Sam. We'll grab you on the other side of this break. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Let's jump on the phones here real quick. You know what? I'm not going to do that to you, Sam. Let's hold you over till the next hour, okay? I'll talk to you at the break here. It's just too short. Just not going to have enough time here. All right. Also, in the next hour, I want to talk a little bit. This is – are you ready for this? Because get ready for Dow 1 million. After a start to the year, you're going to talk like that? Dow 1 million. What kind of ridiculous prediction is that? It may sound ridiculous, but it's not. And many of you out there are probably going to live long enough to see that. But we just can't see that in a moment when we're all fussed up and the markets are having their normal correction time. We'll talk more after Fox News, top of the hour, hour two upcoming. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming. And of course, these are my opinions only. And we're not here to buy and sell, or pretend we know what the market's going to do, because nobody does. They don't. And it always feels interesting as we go through a time, we go, nope, see, I knew that was going to happen. But the problem with that, you knew it was going to happen, is you also knew it was going to happen like 30% ago, or 50% ago, or 100% ago. You know, the other day I heard, I think his name's Gary Schilling, I think it is. I mean, he has been a bear for like, ever since I've heard of Gary Schilling. I mean, honestly, 20, 30 years, something like that. And so somebody was like quoting him about what, you know, was going on here. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I didn't even know he was still around. Being a perma bear is just crazy. And I there's times to be cautious. I've talked about that. On a recent Zoom, we entered the year with more cash than we've had probably ever. But we didn't sell. It just was kind of year-end distributions building up, you know, especially for people that need income. I don't have a problem around the edges with saying, hey, we're at all-time highs. We're at really all-time highs. It's been a really phenomenal couple of years. We're way overdue for some correction. Let's just see if we get better buys in here, or let's hang on to the cash so that we have enough income for a couple of years in case something goes wrong out there. Stuff goes wrong periodically. But what we do is we often lose focus, right, of what this is. And thanks for the call, Sam. I talked to Sam on the break, and he's off to work, and good for him. I just love it when people are out there working and going. So, but he wanted to share the whole idea of value and price. Right? It's like value and price. We don't own Apple. That was the example he gave. We don't go buy Apple because, and then worry about what the price is today or at the end of the day. But for some reason, we freak out about our statements all the time. You buy Apple because you think it's a great value for the long term. Don't check the prices every minute, but we do, right? And we do, but we can't mess that up with value. What is the value of Apple? Does it really change 1 or 2% a day? No, it doesn't. Not at all. No, it doesn't. Rarely is there news that really is properly reflected in prices that instant. Over the long run, it's works out great because the value does come out and price becomes less relevant. Price movement. The real value happens when Apple moves from $1 trillion to $2 trillion to nearly $3 trillion because we love their products. Love their products. We lose sight sometimes that the Dow is on its way to 1 million. On the way will be the Dow 50,000. Oh, what are you talking about? I get it. Okay. But the last 50 years, the same rate of return projected forward for the next 50 is 1.5 million on the Dow. That's where we're going. That's where we've always gone. And we lose sight of that in times like this. And we throw all kinds of fear, worry, and all that. And it's not helped by the press. It's not helped by the equity indexed annuity pimps. It's not. None of that helps. I get it. But what does help for me personally, right, is I just go, man, I started in 1980, and I'm telling you, it was hard. Really hard. Interest rates were way over 10%. They peaked at 21.5 prime lending rate. Inflation was double digit. Unemployment was double digit. Sorry, I got phones going off everywhere. double-digit everything. Misery Index was invented in that time. Absolutely incredible. And the Dow was at 800 on its way down to 750 before bottoming. 750. And gold was at $800 an ounce as well. Today, gold, which was the fear thing in the past, has produced not one dividend, has not increased productivity one single bit. It has sat there like a pretty brick and has managed to go clear to 1,800 from 800, producing no dividends. The Dow is well over 30,000. In spite of multiple 50% corrections, stock market crashes just in my time. And weirdly, approximately 10% total return on the S&P 500 for that time, annually compounded. If we want to go back 200 years, we've got those charts too. I know, but everybody's like, we live now. We live now. What's going on now? I don't care about 40 years, and I sure don't care about 200. We need to understand that for the last 200 years, if you had gold, 10,000 would have turned to 26,000. Bonds, 10,000 would have turned to 8 million. Stocks, it's almost $6 billion. It's a huge difference. And when we go through times like this where there's a little bit of turmoil, a little bit of, it's hard to have that kind of perspective. It is. I love looking at it from the standpoint of when we kind of look at, like, say, volatile things like tech stocks, right? And they're really down right now. Okay? They're really down. But you know what's really, really, really down? Like last year, we heard all about all the IPOs coming out. They were, oh my gosh, this is terrible. And then all the SPACs, which is just these naked pools of money. I'm going to do a media company, and I'm Donald Trump. Oh, here, throw money at him. And people did. Billions of dollars collectively. I mean billions. On an idea that someday we may buy a media company. It was crazy. In fact, they created a SPAC index. It was so crazy. So much money. Because there is so much money. There's so many trillions of dollars out there earning zero, actually earning negative real returns after inflation. Wanting a home. So we're talking about all the speculation in SPACs. IPOs that shouldn't happen, meme stocks like GameStop, AMC, and many, many others. And how about Robinhood? Let's play games on our investment account. All of that, and people are going, hey, is this too much? This can't be. And all these companies that are being bid up, right? Hey, Zoom may be something we do, but it isn't worth infinity. Those stocks have been cratered. And I don't mean in the past 2 weeks. They continue to go down. But they've been being cratered for the last several months. The air has been coming out of those stocks for a long time now. Many are down 50, 70% and more from their highs. Many are real companies that just got carried away. I don't think Zoom is going away. Do you? I really don't. I think there's an amazing business model. I don't think Teladoc, which was like $300, is, and now is at $70. The pandemic may have pushed us more that direction, but they already existed way before the pandemic. They got a lot of contracts out there. And aren't we really discovering new ways to do things and better ways in some cases? Like, do you want to go see your doctor? Sure. But what if I would like to have a two-minute quick checkup, a quick question. But I really need to show them, not just have a phone call. You see that right there? Is that anything to worry about? Okay. No. Yeah, you better come in. Let's biopsy that. All of those things. Or that weird little disease that your great nephew has, and the expert is in Houston, like the world renowned expert. You can't go to Houston all the time, but you can. Right? With video conferencing. All those things are real. And those, the errors come out of those. So what errors left? I don't know. I mean, what I'm saying is for those people who are out there going, it's like this just the beginning of, I don't know why it would be the beginning of all these overpriced. I don't know why. Most of them have already been taken out and shot. They have. And the meme stocks in particular. I mean, does anybody talk about pot stocks anymore? Wasn't that the thing? It was. I knew really smart investor types. Really. Like, yeah, you got to buy Tilray. It's the number one. Tilray, what is that? Oh, it's a Canadian pot company. Okay. Do they make money? No, but everybody's going to be smoking weed, and these guys are out in front of it. It's like, that's the way it is. It's a huge market, untapped. Okay. So Tilray goes way up, and I think it's below $10 a share today. And it's never made money. Same thing on so many levels. So many things. Electric vehicle companies. They're blowing up all around. Because guess what? There were hundreds and hundreds of companies making automobiles. Automobile in America, if you didn't know, was kind of a big deal. And like three companies survived. All of the rest went away. Be the same thing in electric vehicles. Autonomous vehicles. All of these great ideas, people were throwing so much money and the valuations were crazy. I mean, Rivian, which is a real deal company, makes a high-end electric vehicle like Tesla does. And they have some sales. They have a real factory and everything, right? Their stock IPO'd and ran all the way to $180 a share. Today it's a 64 below its IPO price. That's what you call having the air come out. The air coming out. The speculation, the raw, everybody's going to make money if they're, even if there's no value in the market. Don't worry, just buy. That's a good thing. It needs to be healthy. Crypto is off huge. Just yesterday, it went down 11% in a day. Way below. I don't even know what crypto is, honestly. It's, you know, we all know what it is, but you understand what I'm saying. We don't really know what it's going to be, but everybody's buying it. Right? They're buying these digital tokens and stuff like that. It's outside of currency. All of this stuff. Like, I just want a digital picture of number one of Michael Jordan. Okay. But there's like an infinite supply of, I know, but I would be the only one that had number one. So that ought to be worth a zillion dollars. I don't know why it would be, but okay. If you say so. Those kind of things. Whew, are collapsing. This is not bad. Raw speculation being crushed is not bad. It's not bad. Getting back to basic investments is good. Value, I will buy. Speculation is gambling. Are you a speculator or are you an investor? It's important to try to understand. And it's okay to have a couple speculative things as long as you're doing the right thing. So as I bring this back, and say this, as we're trying to get ready for Dow 1 million in the midst of a terrible sell-off, we also have to understand this. Funding a Roth IRA, which right now the limits are $500 a month, $6,000 a year. For the last 40 years, because we can't project what it'll be in the next 40, except weirdly, it'll probably be about like that, about like the last 23 years, 17.5, 53.9 years. In the last 80, 100, 117 years, whatever it is, always seems to pull back towards 10% returns. $500 a month, the last 40 years. Starting your funding at 25 gives you $4.4 million tax-free dollars over the past 40 years. if you never increased it. 4.4 million. In the S&P 500, that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's companies like WorldCom and Enron. Poof, all of the capital's gone. They're gone. Wiped out. It's Google. It's Microsoft. Not at the IPO, because they were too small companies to be put in until they grew up and became a big part of that index. In other words, they were big companies up 100 or 1,000 fold already before they ever even went in there. Still, 500 a month to 4.4 million. Amazing, isn't it? In spite of the fact that in 1987, the market went down almost 25% in one day, a market crash, a true market crash. Multiple flash crashes, multiple 20% losses, and, of course, since a 10% correction is a very frequent occurrence, approximately once per year, about 40 of those. And we had the tech bubble burst 2000. Towers went down to continue that recession. And the overall stock market fell over 50%. 50%. And it came back, as it always does. And we decided we needed to do that again in 2008. Which, with a bunch of Looney Tune policies out of Washington, D.C., to make sure that the financial crisis was awful. And it got cut in half again, in spite of all that. So as we look at it, we go, wow, what are you talking about? What kind of Pollyanna nonsense is this? We've always done that. And no, the world doesn't look safe. It doesn't look bright. Unless you dig below the surface. Get past all of the anger, all of the angst that there is out there, all the politics, and take a step back. And as I said in the first hour, look, it's not like we didn't sit there and watch this incredibly weak president give a horrifying presentation. It's frightening. I get it. But beneath all of that is the reality that we continue to grow. We continue to grow. The economies do. We're continuing to open up. And the economies of the world are growing. Technology is advancing, creating new industries. The standard of living continues to rise. And I know people will be like, yeah, but this. And I know that. I understand. Everybody's going to make the case that they want to make in their brain. We all do that. But the reality is, times have been much tougher than they are now. Much, much tougher. And in spite of that, markets work. And that's what I'm saying. Not that the market's going to go up next week. It might. I don't know. Most weeks it does go up, by the way. If you're going to make a bet, bet on up. Because most of the time it is. Now, on a one-day basis, that most means like slightly more than 50%, barely. In a week, a little bit better. A month, most months are up. Most years are up, but not all. And we fixate on the negative. Instead of the long-term compounding of wealth that the average person with a cup of coffee a day, $5 a day, and time, turn that into $1 million plus. A cup of coffee a day. Who can't afford that? But what do you hear all the time? Oh, it's a rich person's game. I don't have enough. It's not true. It's never been easier. Ever. Never been cheaper, never been more accessible for low-dollar investors to buy the markets. We go through volatile times. We always do. I think we always will. It's the price we pay for the wealth creation that the markets have given all people that have participated. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. Let's ring them up. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO, that's our number. Do give us a call. Let's go ahead and jump on the phones. Michael, are you there? Michael, are you there? Well, I don't know if I did something wrong. I might have done something wrong. You're going to help me, aren't you? Okay. Michael, are you there? All right. Sorry about that. Michael, call us back if we lose you here, but I think we're going to try to get you back on there. I don't know what I did wrong. We pushed the button, and I thought I had it, but we'll see. Okay. Okay, you put him on hold. Let's try it again. Michael, are you there?
Yeah, I am now.
Hey, we did it. Boy, I tell you, technology. Telephones, really hard, really hard. Of course, as you know, amazing. Around here, actually, they are. It is hard, right? We had poor Kevin had to deal with that for months. All right. Thanks for being patient. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, Dave, I just wanted to thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. and thanks for your opening comments. That's pretty much what I've been thinking and what I thought you'd say. I wouldn't be surprised to see, 10%, 20% correction, whatever. But the one thing that does concern me is this government we got, which you addressed. You're betting against the great corporations of the world. I'm just hoping that they can stay ahead of this horrible government we've got.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my comment. It's just, I hope everything's okay, but the one thing that could mess everything up is this horrible government that's in power now. And that's, if you have any comments, I'll just hang up and listen. But thanks for taking my call, Dave, and I hope you have a great day.
Likewise. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it, Michael. Have a great day. I will talk a little bit about that because it is, it's on all of our minds. And I know it's hard. It's, who would have thought that the market would go up if Joe Biden won? It didn't just go up. It went up a lot. And particularly, the great hope was, don't worry about it. He's going to be boxed in because there's no way that the two Georgia seats will go to the Democrats. And they did. And the market went up. Now, that's not to say, and there's a great editorial in today's Wall Street Journal you should read. They're just amazing. The brain power at the Wall Street Journal is probably 10x what the combined total for all other papers is. It's just amazing. So when the editorial board gets together, I really do, and they usually together write three of them a day. Three little commentaries. But this one was really, I hadn't thought about it a lot. And that was how big a deal this is, what they're trying to do with the filibuster, what they're trying to do in the Senate. And the fact of the matter is that there's really only two senators outside of the Republican Party, two Democrats is all, that didn't go on record voting for, even when they had the opening, to say, no, I don't want to change the rules. These are the same people that signed a letter in 2017. The same ones that we had to save the integrity of the Senate. And by the way, there were like 30-some Republicans signed that letter, which was written by a Democrat who's still in power and now has gone on record that he wants to change the filibuster. It's not how our government works, where we just, let's go ahead and make some new states. Yeah, let's do it. Let's go ahead and pack the court. Yeah, let's do it. Pack it one way, pack it the other. We have 750 justices now because we're going back and forth, back and forth. It makes no sense, and it's very, very disturbing. So on a very deep level, I agree. This is a messed up thought process now. I agree. And I do know that the great corporations of the world will figure out a way around it. They figure out how to deal with communists, dictators, and the like, and the ever-slowing Europe as well. We don't want to go there because we're a great nation and we're the beacon of the world. But the great corporations will work around it, and it is hard not to get our own concerns in there, our own dismay about the president, about the policies, about the idea that the Constitution doesn't matter. It doesn't. But that we don't want to play by rules of law, that we can pack the Justice Department with whatever nonsensical people, arrest people for minor violations that disagree with me politically, and give a free pass to people with major crimes because they're on the woke side. All of those things feed into our own angst about where we're going economically. But the corporations seem to be able to work around it, and in many times, it's been worse than this. So, Michael, I appreciate it. It's a very good comment. I'm concerned, too. Who isn't? We all are, because we are in a very, very dangerous time geopolitically because we are have such weak leadership. I get it. It's not a reason to hide. That's all. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be back after Fox News. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. Also, our email, of course, is dave@petzofinancial.net. All right, so let's start with an email here from Ken. Ken asks, Dave, my wife and I both turned 72 this year and start our RMDs. Our RMD, required minimum distribution, for this year is just shy of $100,000. So you've got a substantial IRAs in the household there. I was planning quarterly withdrawals starting in March. Given I have some flexibility in the timing of those withdrawals, should I stay on my plan or try to make the withdrawals during a market up cycle? What a great question, and absolutely one you should think about every single year if you have that kind of flexibility. So let me say that, for example, most people will have, most of our clients are going to have assets both qualified and non-qualified, meaning IRA or non-IRA, or retirement accounts or non, right? And so if markets are up, and as I mentioned before, you have all those year-end distributions from mutual funds, dividends, things like that, that come in at the end of the year. And when markets are up, and they are up, but they're down a little bit since the beginning of the year, but you get what I'm saying. We're at all-time highs, and we had a huge year last year. So we're in no hurry to go reinvest those. Now, let's flip that over and say, what if we're talking about needing income? Income, whether it's a required minimum distribution that has to come out, whether people are using it, and so this speaks to this, Ken, if markets are up, if you have cash in the account, dividends are being paid in, instead of reinvesting them and trying to just catch a market upturn, you should always be planning ahead for the next distribution. And in my mind, that should be multiple years of distributions. It doesn't mean that much as sitting in cash. We have also other buckets over here that are going to be saying like next year and the year after. And for us right now, a good deal of money is actually sitting there in non-market things where we think we're going to get 7%, but it doesn't move with the market. If the market a year from now is up, I will get my distributions from the market side, leaving those alone. So I'm always ready for the next downturn, and I don't have to sell down. That's always the key to making your money last as long as possible. Now, RMDs will eventually catch up to you because the amount is going to be required to go up and up and up. But also, this brings up another point. The required minimum distribution formulas changed this year, okay? The age 70, where it used to be, was moved to 72, where it starts now, to better reflect the new mortality, if you will, right? And so to answer your question the best I can, absolutely I would utilize the market. But if it's up, even if you're feeling good and things are great, take care of the distributions. Do it all at once. Or you set it up to come out quarterly, but you want those pieces over the next several quarters, let's call it 8 quarters, to be in very low volatility, even no volatility situation, so it's ready for you. And then you'll also have your dividends regularly continuing to feed in so that those quarterly distributions are met by dividends currently as well as sales at higher levels earlier, okay? So absolutely time it. You bet you do. Absolutely. Can you time the market accurately? No, but we're not buying and selling. It has to come out. All we're simply saying is where we're going to pull it from. Investments that are up when they're up, and investments that don't go down when the market goes down, and inevitably it does sometimes. So, Ken, great question. I love the whole idea of planning out those distributions and having that kind of flexibility. Often at the beginning of the year, we roll it over to the non-qualified account and reinvest what we want. Now, finally, I'm going to beat this RMD thing to death. We just don't see this very often from accountants, okay? Good accountants will bring it up. But most of the time, most accounting is reactive, right? You give your accountant your tax return after the beginning of the year, and they tell you what you owe, and everybody goes home. RMDs, if you're doing any charitable giving, let's just say you tithe to your church, okay? And I'm just going to make up a number. You do $1,000 a month to your church every month. Take $12,000 out of your IRA when you're 72. It has to be when you hit required minimum distribution age. Take it out once a year and send it to the church. Don't write checks. Why? Because it qualifies for your required minimum distribution. And you won't pay taxes on it because it's going to a charity. Any charity. You like the Boise Rescue Mission. Who doesn't? The work that they do to change lives. You want to send them $10,000? Do it out of your IRA. Do it out of your required minimum distribution. It qualifies to be part of that required distribution if you're not needing it for income. Do that. Or you can also use it and shift your giving, right? Meaning, certainly you can give more if you're not using it. That's great. But if you are, then you can certainly give that away and then keep your cash to live on, okay? Anyway, just another tip on the RMDs. All right, Terry, you're up to bat next, but we got to take a break here. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And thanks again for the email, Ken. Hello, welcome, and again, thank you for joining us. Hey, we have got lots and lots of YouTube videos out there at Petso, on the Petso Financial Channel. Lots of them, and some of them also right on our website at petsofinancial.com. We also have some tutorials on equity indexed annuities and why they won't work, why they can't work. You know, I mean, we all know. Come on, I mean, we all know. You get market returns with no risk. Yeah, that's how it works. Life works that way. It's just like the free lunch that grandma told you was not available, right? There's no such thing. And we all know that, but some people just really are so fearful, or the pitch is so strong, or whatever it is. There's just this. Anyway, why won't it work? I do my best in about 12 minutes. It's really hard to do, believe me, but I didn't want to do it in an hour. And if you have any follow-up questions, you can certainly give us a call. Okay? Anyway, lots of articles and ideas and calculators to help you with your own financial planning. Let's go ahead and go to the phones, and it's 580-KIDO. Terry, how are you today?
Well, good morning, Professor. I hope the crew is getting healthy again.
The crew is, we're working on it. Yeah. We had our own little run-through with the virus, and I don't know. I've been not symptomatic. That's the best I can say. I've certainly had exposure over the past 2 years, like I think everybody has, but our office got it. But thank you. We're all, a couple of them aren't having great fun with it, but it's not anything serious. Nobody's gone to the hospital. Thank the Lord for that.
Yeah, there we go. Well, okay, with what you've been talking about and what's been going on this morning, you've been at this advising people for a day or two.
Yeah.
And what have you seen that's different or the same? What looks familiar?
Mm.
You know, you're the expert in the room. It's easy to say, don't worry, have, and we fall back to my favorite word, perspective.
Yeah.
So, you know, give us some perspective, sir.
Okay. All right. That's a fair question. Terry, I think that I don't want to just say it's, you know, every time is different, and it is. There's always some subtle differences. The thing that bothers me, and I don't want to say this because as some old guy speaking, because we all get this way. We get kind of stuck on things that used to be a different way. And I think from a perspective of everybody's lifestyle, conveniences, everything from medicine on down is better. It's much better than it ever was. But one of the things that is much worse than it ever was, in my mind, is this idea that you don't agree with me, so I hate you. And it's gotten very loud and very obnoxious, and nobody's listening. And we turned a virus into a political weapon to get rid of the angry orange man. And that is a bad idea. And actually, in my mind, I think a lot of people died. Maybe millions of people died because people are so angry that we can't have a discussion about therapeutics because the president wants therapeutics. And so we can't. And we need masks. We don't need masks. I mean, all of these things are terrible, and we've gotten our backs up about it. This bothers me, the idea that we're going to change the filibuster in the Senate is an open discussion, and is openly with the Democratic Party, they want to do it. There's only two people in the whole Democratic Party that don't want to do it. Went on the record as wanting to change it. This is frightening to me because it means we could be flip-flopping like every country in the world with no... We don't have to get along at all. We don't have to have bipartisan anything. That is a very, in my mind, is a very dangerous slope that we're on. And
right.
And in the Justice Department, it's worse. Government's so big and so powerful and so political now, I am concerned on that level. That, to me, is what's different. Now, that's the perspective part that I'll say makes me concerned. The perspective part that makes me a raging bull as we look forward are all the technological advancements, which are really feeding on themselves and creating jobs, creating more economic opportunity. And I think there, as I look around, I look at things like how bad the schools are, right? I mean, we basically teach the same way we did 100 years ago, which is no business does that. That's idiotic beyond comprehension. And the evil that comes out of the teachers' unions in some places of not caring about those inner city kids is so frustrating to me. But that's it. Now, where am I optimistic on that? It's going away. They can't get away with it anymore because with the pandemic and with Zooming and all these other things and other alternatives coming up and low cost, we can all blend together, right, in private school. We're not just trying to figure it out on our own. We have all of these resources from around the country that we can get really good at, and we can do our own school. So I see these things happening in education, especially higher education. That makes me optimistic for the future in addition to that. So that's a perspective I have, but I'm frustrated like everyone and nervous on the political front because of what has happened in our government and our dialogue with each other.
Right. In my mind, we're coming back to two civilists or passwords kind of thing. Truth and trust.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if we can just have a little bit of each of those, well, a lot of truth, we'll reestablish the trust in each other. So.
Yeah, yeah. And Terry, I also, I'm going to give you one other thing, okay? Because I'm going to have to wind up the program. And I thank you for your call, but I've got to wind her down here. So thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Good day, dude.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you. And Spinner, you hang on. I'll talk to you off air afterwards. Hey, as we are going through this, and it is something as we wind down, I want to say one more thing. Thanks for the pushing on that, Terry, for perspective. I also, just like everybody else, we're all human beings, and we get fussed up about stuff. We really do. We really do. I do, too. And it really, in times like this, where we really have no legitimate leaders out there, right? And everybody seems to be so selfish and loud and angry. It's hard to have a perspective that the world is getting better. We need to stop and look at it and think about our own lives and realize that, hey, it's just money. It's all those other things around us that are getting better also. Health, our own health care, awareness of our own health, all of those things as well. So stop, take a deep breath, dial down the news, dial down the fear mongers, and it really will be a more peaceful weekend. God bless. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.